If you're listening to this while stuck in traffic, you could be forgiven for thinking not much thought goes into controlling traffic in urban areas. But behind the scenes, highly complex systems are at work. Richard Llewellyn.
If you take any big city within the UK, pretty much all of them these days will have something called an urban traffic control system, controlling all of the traffic signals within that city. Now, traffic signal timings are set based on traffic flow. Historically, we did that many years ago, just manually and taking an average on a particular day. But these days, it's much, much more high tech. So we've got detectors in the road and above the traffic signals. They detect the flow at any one time and they adjust those green times that you see on a cycle-by-cycle basis. A traffic signal cycle is where we go from red to amber to green and back again. And when you're driving in a city, if you're driving on a main road into a city centre, what should be happening is you should be seeing some sort of linkage between those signals. So if you hit a green signal, then as you get further down the street, the timings should be such that your progression along that road is unimpeded. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always seem that way because lots of different things are happening on our streets. Buses are stopping, people are delivering goods, the flow doesn't quite work as well as it should do. But there is a lot of intelligence within those systems that make those changes to try to get the maximum amount of traffic through. And they can also do clever things as well, like prioritise emergency vehicles, public transport, even respond to pollution. We have systems that can measure pollution and start to adjust the traffic patterns, adjust which streets get priority to try and maintain or reduce those pollution levels.
So I guess if you've got something like an organised parade and you've got days of notice, that's one thing. But if you've got an emergency services vehicle coming in, you might only have a few minutes of notice. So how quick are they at reacting, I guess, to the changing traffic conditions?
Well, they can actually make changes to the signal timings on a cycle-by-cycle basis. So every time those lights change, one amount of green time might be different from the next amount of green time. They tend to be more responsive in the off-peak periods when things aren't as busy. The problem with the peak period is basically our networks are so congested, there isn't a lot of slack, and the systems are very limited in terms of what they can do.
Considering that challenge, what is going on in the area of traffic control research to try and improve congestion, bottlenecks, or make journeys more reliable?
Yeah, well, I mean, reliability, that's the key word. People will tend to accept that congestion is a fact of life these days in cities. But what people find difficult to accept is that the journey time from day to day will change, and they might allow 45 minutes to get to a meeting one day and the next week it'll take them 90 minutes. And this is a real problem to people. One of the issues we've had historically is the ability to collect traffic data. We've been always reliant on roadside detectors or just traffic counts. But these days, the number of people that are carrying around smartphones, that are monitoring where they're traveling to, how long it's taking, is a great source of data. And companies like Google, for example, now are providing journey time information, which allows traffic engineers to start to build a picture of journey time information and start to try to react to that and at least disseminate it to those that need to know. Ultimately, though, the problem still remains that network is a finite resource, and we really need to question who should be using it and when. That's really the big challenge.
Considering that vehicles are becoming increasingly more autonomous, is this set to impact upon how we control traffic on the roads?
Yeah, well, I mean, autonomy brings with it some potential advantages in terms of driving style. It removes some of the unpredictability from the system. So if you imagine people driving along a motorway, one driver to the next, everyone leaves a little bit of a different gap between the vehicle in front. But if you have a machine in control of the distances between vehicles on, for example, a motorway, you've potentially got a much more stable flow there. There has actually been some suggestion that if we had fully autonomous vehicles, the need for things like traffic signals could be completely removed from our cities, in that the vehicles themselves would communicate with each other and that we wouldn't need this technology by the side of the street. But I think that one's quite a long way off.
As you're a traffic expert, I've got to ask, what is the best etiquette in terms of managing traffic flow if you come to a bit of a standstill on a motorway? You've got someone who's edging really close to you, someone who's trying to leave a bit of space, and there's always that person who will go in the gap. actually, for efficient movement, what is the best way to behave in that situation, assuming you're not in an autonomous car?
Mm-hmm. A motorway works at its best when you've got a steady state flow. Now, these shockwaves and issues that occur on motorway phantom traffic jams, they sometimes call, occur when there's been some event that's happened on the motorway. Now, that can sometimes be something like an accident, but it can also be things like merging vehicles or someone changing lane or someone driving a little bit too close and braking. So if you want to adopt a good driving style and try to get the maximum benefit from motorways, the best way of driving is try to allow as much distance as possible from the vehicle in front to brake very gently within reason and to accelerate away very smoothly. And by maintaining that smooth traffic flow, it might not completely prevent that type of congestion, but certainly it would go some way to help.
How do traffic control systems make sure that if there's a diversion, traffic is being sensibly and evenly distributed? Because I guess what you don't want is to think, okay, that route's cut off. Let's send all of the cars in the city onto a different route and just cause a massive jam. How does that work?
Within traffic models, what the model will try to do is it uses something called a generalized cost of travel in terms of the vehicles on the network. So it tries to minimize the amount of delay within that network. So it will try many iterations to try to distribute that traffic as best as it can, minimizing that cost. And once it's found that solution, that is the form of diversionary route that will be assigned. Sometimes if we know of an event that's happening, we might manually put something in and come up with a plan in advance. But if it's in real time, that's the way it would work.
Richard Llewellyn there from Edinburgh Napier University.